So this morning is not a normal morning. So if you've been missing some of the announcements or if you are new this morning, this is our State of CPC service. Eventually this might become a members meeting, but at the moment the only space we have is Sunday morning right here. And so sometimes that means that we kind of bring evening meetings into our morning meeting, and so that's what this morning is. And so we choose one Sunday morning each year to report to the church about various leadership and ministry and finance developments. And so our first update this morning, it pertains to our church plant network. We were assisted in getting started by the Sojourn Church Plant Network, and we actually give 5% of our budget each year to help other churches get started. But Sojourn has changed its name to Harbor Network, and if you wonder why the name change, well, here's a video to help you understand what's going on.
As the journey Jesus launched 2,000 years ago continues, bold church leaders are navigating the waters of their calling from one season to the next. Anchored by the historic faith and God's word, they're launching, leading, and multiplying strong, thriving churches built to weather the storms and carry the gospel forward. Supported and strengthened by Harbor Network, these leaders are building churches out on the open waters, as God guides through winds of the Spirit and the currents around us. But the work is hard and the waters are dangerous. To follow His lead, churches and their pastors need more than just a strong start. You need circles of safety and cycles of strength. Harbor Network is a unique community where you'll find both. Together, we form a safe space to rest and renew, to find our bearings, and refuel for the journey ahead. And built on that safety, we return to the journey stronger and we launch more churches. Rest, renew, return. That's the cycle of strength that informs everything we do. Together, we pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ will renew people and places as we launch, lead, and multiply thriving churches.
So, Harbor might not be something that is on most of your radar. I just want you to know they've been so, so good to me. They believe that if church leadership is healthy, the church will be healthy. And so they have blessed our church leadership in a lot of ways and continue to do so. And so I just want you to be aware that we're part of that network and actively engaged with them. And they take care of me. And I love them. I'm great. We owe them a lot. They helped us get started, and I've been there for us along the way. Well, the next update I would like to share with you is to bring you current on what's happening with our new building and our relocation. And most of you are familiar with what's been happening, so let me just recap the story and let you know where things stand. It's not hugely different than what you've heard in the past, because we've kind of been on hiatus until the time comes to move in. But last fall, a year ago, I began praying to the Lord. It's like, Lord, where's our 24/7 location going to be? Northwest Christian's been wonderful to us, but at some point we're going to need our own space. We're going to outgrow this room. We're going to need a place where we can be midweek. And I was just asking God, where's that place supposed to be? When's the right time? And as I was praying, and as I was thinking of who God brought to Connection Point and where we all lived, I just realized there's really only one central building that's even in that area. And I knew because I'm friends with the church that's meeting there. It's like, it's actually going to be coming open within the next year. And yet I had this thought, like, I mean, I know what they're paying to be in that building. Like, that's just beyond us. And so I was tempted just to kind of discard it. And I just felt like maybe I had a whisper from the Holy Spirit saying, you think that's beyond you? You think it's beyond me? Maybe you should go after it. Maybe you should see what I will do. Maybe you should just never assume that something can't happen, that something's too big. I mean, really, if you think about it, since when have we ever been strong enough as a church plant? Since when have we ever been ready for any of the next steps that the Lord has brought our way? And yet, at each step, the Lord has taken care of it. And the scripture the Lord brought to my mind was Jonathan and his armor bearer. When Jonathan had this, he and his armor bearer, and there was a garrison of the Philistine army up the top of this hill, and he's like, hey, why don't we go over there, and it may be that the Lord will work for us. There's just two of them, and so they went over there, and it's like, if they say, come on up here, then we'll take it like that's God's sign that we should just go up there and fight them. I'm like, I'd want a little bit more of a maybe than I was Jonathan, but he did, and the Lord used them to bring a great national victory. And I just felt that scripture come alive in my heart, like, it may be that the Lord will work for us. And I'm going to talk to Grace Christian Fellowship, and if they say, come on over, you know, I'll throw out this dollar amount that seems too low to me. And I'm not trying to insult them, and I'm not trying to take advantage of them. But if they're willing to talk, let's see if God will work for us. And so October 26th, almost a year ago to the day, I sent a text to Dave Farley over at Grace Christian. And turned out they were willing to talk, and so we ended up making it our prayer focus at the beginning of this year. We were praying about this one-year goal to kind of grand open in a 24/7 location, and by that time to have each of our discipleship ministries embodying Trivergence. Trivergence is a word that we created from the prefix of tri, meaning three, and combining it with convergence has to do with the coming together of gospel, word, and spirit. And so over this year, we've been endeavoring to take steps into having those three things work together with synergy. And so we set before the church this goal to pray about if this was the goal that the Lord would have for us. And so we took a week and we prayed and we fasted before we stepped into this. And actually, we're going to do that again in January. More on that later. And we asked God that he would give us a consensus one way or the other. Is this something that we should endeavor to step into? And as the consensus was confirmed, then we asked that God would also confirm it through a special offering. And I was saying, Lord, we really need about $30,000 to come in on this special offering. And if we can get there, that'll be just kind of the final sign that we should step into this. Well, we had this ridiculous special offering where over $70,000 came in. And I felt really embarrassed about my shallow faith to try to get to $30,000. And thank you. I mean, the church was so generous, but it felt like the Spirit was just unifying hearts. And then we were also praying during this week of prayer and fasting that we would have favor with Grace Christian Fellowship, favor with the landlord, because a lot of moving parts that have to come together. And Grace Christian has been unbelievably good to us. Like, we're subleasing from them, and they're not even making us pay what they're paying. They're actually starting us about 75% of their costs and gradually stair-stepping us up. So they're helping in significant ways. And they remodeled the space, and they added a sprinkler system and expanded the ladies' bathrooms. And they've already let us move our offices in. They said we could have free events there in the meantime moving forward. And so we've had favor there. The building manager has indicated that when the two-year sublease that we have is up, that there probably won't be a lease increase if we want to stay, which is nuts. Now, that's just a verbal in passing, so that may change over the next couple years. But all that to say, like, the Lord is giving us favor, just like we prayed, just like we asked. And so our likely move-in date is the first week of February, and that's been our date for a while. The building is supposed to be completed by the end of this year, but we wanted to build some margin if things are running late. And then even once it is completed, for Grace Christian to get their stuff out and for us to get our stuff in just takes some time. And so this is happening. And I'm thrilled. And so what I wanted to do this morning, I wanted to share with you six ways to help with the relocation. Six ways that you can help. And there'll be more on this as we get closer. And it's not that everyone, not every person will be able to do all six of these, all right? So don't feel like, oh man, I can only do five, and some of you might only be able to do three. That's okay. I'm just letting the congregation as a whole know these are the sorts of things that need to be happening from the congregation. I kind of encourage you maybe to see if two jump out at you, and maybe at your connection groups this week you can talk about the areas where you felt like maybe the Lord was inviting you in or challenging you. And so here they are. First one, build margin for the unknown. And here's what I mean. We don't know all of what's about to happen in the coming season. We don't know all of the work it might take. We don't know who the Lord might bring, what ministry opportunities may emerge. We may grow very quickly overnight. And so I would just encourage a number of you, when it comes to thinking about your family schedules, and I'm not talking about giving up your essentials. Like, there's certain things that are important. Don't cut those. But you're going to have some options come up over the next couple of months. And they're kind of the 50-50, take it or leave it. My kid could do this program or not. Should I or should I not? Or we could do this or not. Should we or should we not? I would just like to put out a little feeler to some of you. It's like, maybe for the next couple of months, tip towards the not. Because we don't know what we're going to need. And it would be really sad if we move in and a bunch of opportunities open up, but we have no margin for any families to step into them. So I would just encourage you to consider building some margin for the unknown. Second way you can help, use Subsplash. Now, you can't quite do it yet, but I want to let you know that we are beginning to develop a church app. And this is going to be super cool. We'll have it before we move into the new building. And all of our live stream, our giving, our announcements, our groups, our podcasts, notifications, announcements to the church, everything is going to be able to go through this app. And so over the coming months, we're going to talk about what it looks like to transition some of our online giving to a different platform. It's actually going to save us a considerable amount of money to use a different program. And it integrates with our website. We're going to have a new website, and there's going to be videos. It's going to be very, very cool. So I just want you to know that's coming, and you should be excited about it. And when we get it, it will help us a lot, especially when it comes to communication, if we all download that app. So more on that coming in the coming months. Number three, join kids ministry. If you're not already in kids ministry, I was praying the other day and meeting with the team, and I was thinking through this question. Why has God brought us so many kids? And as I was thinking about it, what became really clear to me, this is not a problem that we need to solve. This is an opportunity for us to pursue. I don't think it's an accident that God has brought so many young families with so many young kids. And I think for some, it could be tempting to think, oh man, how are we going to deal with this? And I want you to say, no, that's the totally wrong way to look at this. Like, God's doing something. There's a reason he's brought so many kids into our midst. And so we've begun to pray as a team, and I would encourage you to pray. It's like, why is it that God's doing it this way? Like, what's he up to? And what's it look like for us to cooperate with this and invest in the next generation? And as our team was meeting and thinking through, all right, what's it look like for us to be ready at the new building, thinking about all the different ministries and, okay, if we have growth, what ministries need to expand a little bit or have more, either more leaders or more helpers? And we realized that the single biggest determining factor and whether or not we are positioned to handle growth actually is our children's ministry. It's as people come and they bring kids, the question is, do we have room to minister to them? Do we have people ready to receive and bless and connect these people to Jesus? And so I just want to encourage us. We say at Connection Point, we are to serve where we're gifted, because God gives spiritual gifts, and we cooperate with spiritual gifts, but we also serve where we are needed. So some of you are gifted at kids ministry, and for sure we need you, but others are needed. And so I would turn to the example of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. It wasn't that Jesus was the world's most gifted foot washer. It's like, watch this, I can scrub between the toes with exquisite skill. No, he didn't have a gift, he had a servant's heart. And so if we add 30% or 40% to our attendance over the first couple months, at the moment, we're not positioned in kids ministry to handle that. And so what we're trying to do over the next couple months is move from a four-week kids ministry rotation where we have people serve once a month or once every 4 weeks. We'd like to expand that to a six-week, which is more than we need. But that way, when we move into the new building, we have people trained and ready if we need it. Now, we might not need it, Or maybe the families that come don't have a bunch of kids, or so maybe it's not an issue, and then we go back down to our 4 week. But I'd like a bunch of you to just think about, would I be willing to be one of those additional volunteers that's trained and ready in case we have a need? So, join kids ministry. You can talk to Sandra. If you'd like, Sandra, can you wave? We'll be introducing her again later. Or there's a connect card on the seat by you, and you can use that as well. So that's the third way that you can help out. Fourth way, become a member. Now, when you came in, there was a half sheet handout. It's got the details on this. I would encourage you to please chase these down each week. The dates of things for the next months are always on there, and it always catches me off guard that whether it's connection groups or different people don't know about the things that are happening when we've been, that's how we let you know months in advance what's coming. And this week, the membership information is there. Leaders are going to need to be members. And, you know, we just started our membership. So if you're new here, this is kind of a new thing. The membership process is going to get more involved once we move into the new building. So you have a chance to get in at an easier way if you do it now. And eventually meetings like this, some of these will be members-only meetings. So right now we're doing it Sunday morning. We're small enough. Everyone comes. But there's going to increasingly be some confidential things that we can't just share with everyone. And so become a member. This would help us a lot. The link's on the screen. The link's on your handout. It has to do with believing our statement of faith, being baptized, being here. And then the be on board means that you've gone through CPC 101 and 102, which is our membership course. And you just basically just watch it. Just watch it online and make sure that you're on board with what we're saying. And so the information where you can watch those videos is also on the half sheet handout. So become a member. That will help us a lot. Number five, consider adding surplus furnishings. So we have a budgeted amount to spend on furnishings as we move into this new building. And we're anticipating that there's some things that would be nice to have, but not necessarily essential, that won't make it into the budget. So we were thinking, well, maybe we could create some sort of a gift registry. So if someone wanted to help with, man, we need a kids table here, or be nice to have a TV for people to watch the service on, for nursing moms, or just some of the extra things that didn't quite make it into the first budget, consider being a part of that. Our church has already been so generous. We're not having any more special offerings. We're not going to have any special appeals for giving. I'm super grateful for the generosity of the church. But I know some of you would enjoy something like that, and so consider being a part of helping with some of the surplus furnishings. And then last, spread the word. We're going to have a spread the word campaign over the coming months, and we mean that in two ways. One, spreading the good news about Jesus, but along with it, letting people know, spreading the word that we're moving into a new building, and you can already start letting people know that we're going to be moving into a building. They can already start coming now. They don't have to wait till the new building comes. We're going to have some Facebook promos that you can use something that you can share to your page. And then we're going to be doing some prayer and fasting that the Lord would use to highlight people that we pray and reach out to and evangelize, people that need churches. We're going to have a prayer night November 9th. So that is that a Wednesday or a Tuesday? It's a Tuesday, right? Tuesday. And so we're asking that connection groups prioritize that. And that will be, it's a couple weeks. It's going to be at the new building, and we're just going to be praying that the Lord blesses this process. And then January 10th through 16th, we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting. And really, we're asking for the Lord's wisdom, for the Lord to use this, but we're also asking that he helps us to grow the right amount. Because growing too fast kind of sounds fun, but it's not necessarily helpful. And so we just don't know. Like, I've surrendered to God over and over. God, we don't have to be a big church. We don't have to be a small church. I really want what he wants. And we need small churches. We need medium churches. We need big churches. So just asking that God would grow this in accordance with his design for us. So those are some ways that you can participate. Those are coming up. So with that, I'm going to invite Matthew and Charity up. They're going to lead us in a prayer time that the Lord would just bless this transition into the new building, and that he would be with us and use us. So come on up. Music team, if you want to come back up and get ready for our next song, that would be great.
Good morning. Psalm 37, verse 6 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And then in Colossians 4, the summary is, Paul prays, let's continue steadfastly in prayer for an open door of ministry. This new building is going to be an open door of ministry for us to proclaim the gospel in this area. And we want to commit to that and commit to maybe some practical ways, even being involved, how to go about that. So we just want to take this time to just pray. I'll lead us, and you can also pray quietly in your heart as well. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to move into a building after the new year. And Lord, may we commit our way to you. Help us have pure hearts, Lord. Lead us by your Spirit as to what each of us would do to be involved here in our communities as members of this church, how to be witnesses for you in our jobs. It's an open door of ministry for us, but may we be thankful in our worship. I do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, how it has come about. It shows that you are working and acting on our behalf. So we praise you for that. And Lord, open our eyes to see additional ways that you are also continuing to act for us, and then to give you praise for that.
Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness, that as we position ourselves as your children, that you provide, that you protect, that you make a way for us. We ask that you would give us a vision as we move into a new space. Give us a vision for this city, Lord. Show us how we can bless and minister to Spokane. Give us a vision for our families, for our kids, for our youth. Lord, show us what you would have us do to disciple our church, your church, Lord, that you're building. You're the foundation and the cornerstone, and brick after brick, you're building it together. Would you reveal to each one of us what our specific role is to play in this family, how it is that we are to be at work for your kingdom? Lord, we ask for deeper faith, that we would boldly pursue your goodness. We pray for a vision as we move into this building, Lord, how we can bless our neighbors. We ask for more evangelism opportunities. We pray, Lord, that our lives would be a light that would shine in a darkened city here. Even in our own neighborhood, we've heard talking to our neighbors about other churches that have been in that building in the past, and we want to redeem their perception of that church building. We want that building to be a place that is known to be about your love, your compassion, your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are raising us up for this time and this place. We thank you that you are equipping us to possess it.
Lord, we thank you. We know you're listening to our prayers, and open our eyes and ears to when you act and move. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we've had some excitement times. Now we get to do the boring financial part of today. But as I say this, you know, just sing the words, for endless days we will sing God's praise. And it's a time of encouragement and a time of thankfulness. And so got some slides for you, and I'm just going to go and do a brief overview. So first one is about our income or giving for the year. So this year, 2021 through September, which is kind of the last round month that we have, year-to-date giving is $214,000 for total giving. And that's comprised of the regular giving from us all of $138,000. We've got an external church Helped support his Grace Christian Fellowship for another $6,000. And then our special offering, as Barry had indicated earlier, of $70,000. So it's encouraging to see that. And so on behalf of the elders and staff, we thank you for your sacrificial giving. When we go into our expenses, same time frame, January through September 2021, total expenses during that time, about $144,000. And of that, as you can imagine, a lot of 63% of that is our salaries. About 12% of that is our rent and leasing costs. And then the other 25% is what we call our operations in ministry, our small group, our kids, all the different things, music ministry, those types of things. And then lastly, just give a little bit of kind of a final recap in comparison through to last year. So again, our total giving for the year to date is $214,000. Our expenses, total expense, about $144,000. So it leaves a differential of about $70,000, which happens to be about the same amount that our special offering was. And actually, right now, we've got about $161,000 that are sitting in the bank, which is prepping us to go forward. So again, we thank you for your giving, and thank you for your faithfulness.
Keep it there. Thank you, Mark. So we've been working to become financially independent by the end of this year, 2021, and it's happening. 2021 was our first year without financial support from the Harbor Network. Last year, they gave us $2,000 a month. And so the good news is we haven't had that this year, but since our giving has grown, we're actually at about the same place this year without Harbor Network financial support as we were last year with Harbor Network support. So again, thank you. We appreciate your generosity. So 2022 is actually going to be our first year with no outside monthly support. So Grace Christian, by the way, Grace Christian is not one of the churches that we're trying to redeem the reputation of that building. So just in case anyone was wondering, they've been very good to us. But they're supporting us right now. And next year, their support's going to be more about helping us with the building. And so it's going to be the first month where we don't have, like, checks showing up from outside of our own members. And so if you take away the special offering, you noticed our giving and our expenses were basically a wash. And so here's the next step of faith. Adding the new building, our lease is no longer going to be 12%. It's going to, I don't know the exact percentage, I didn't prep it, but our projected shortfall for next year is about $50,000. Now, before you freak out, we've known this was coming. It's why we've been saving up. It's why we have $161,000 in the bank. We're actually further ahead right now than we thought we would be going into this exact situation. Basically, as our membership keeps growing, our finances keep growing. And if our current trajectory holds, the shortfall, which next year will be $50,000, it will decrease each year. And within a few years, our giving will outpace our expenses. And based on our current trajectory, that would happen sometime in the year 2025, and we would still have $25,000 left in the bank of that $161,000. Now, a lot can happen between now and then. We could have a much bigger giving trajectory that would be awesome, or things might go, you know, maybe our trajectory changes a little bit. So we've been praying that we don't just merely survive financially, but that we thrive financially. And what I mean by thriving is we would love to be able first to stay in the new building once the, you know, 18, 20 month lease is done. And then also we'd like to be able to give current staff members more hours. We have a lot of staff members who are being very generous to us by taking on part-time positions and trying to figure out other ways to make extra money. It'd be really nice if we can add some hours to our staff. And so that's what I mean by thrive. To survive would mean keep the hours the way they are now, but be able to stay in the building. Worst case scenario is, so we're not gonna go bankrupt. Worst case scenario is all right, well, at the end of 2 years, we can't afford to stay. And so we end up having to leave before our money runs out. I don't think that's going to happen. And I'm praying that I think God's put us there for a reason. We also have options if things are challenging, like we potentially could sublease out to someone else midweek. So we think God's in this and we're just not worried. But I just wanted you to know, like, every step of the way, there's been something like this. We've moved into a building just trusting. You know, we started out with $15,000, and out of that, my salary is supposed to come and all of our equipment was supposed to come, and it started going down right away, but then we grew, and this just happens over and over. It's just a bigger dollar amount this time. And so some of you might be finding out about bigger dollar amounts for the first time, and so just be aware. Despite the uncertainty, though, we are not hoarding at the expense of outward giving. It's a value of us that we don't only give when we have extra. We don't only give when our needs are securely met. We give because God's a generous God, and we trust him. And so in our personal giving, we don't only give when we have extra. And when it comes to our corporate, like where the church aims its dollars, we don't only give when we have extra. So we've given away a little over $16,000 so far in 2021. I mentioned that 5% of our budget goes towards church planting with the Harbor Network. And I'm going to be sharing with you over the coming months a partnership with some churches called the Inland Northwest Cooperative. That's just getting started. It's very exciting. More on that later. We also give to refugee relief, and especially African refugees. And so they get a portion of our money, and we also support them each month. And then there is a ministry called Living Springs Ranch that provides rest and respite for missionaries and pastors who are on furlough or need a place to give away. They've been good to us, and we support them. So I just want to close this financial section by saying thank you for giving financially. Your gifts make a difference. Whether it's a one-time donation or an ongoing contribution, generosity really has an impact. It helps connect people to Jesus. And so if we continue working together, finances will not hinder us from connecting people to Jesus. At this point, we are going to have some ministry updates, starting with our kids' ministry. We have been blessed at Connection Point with two phenomenal kids' directors. First, Katie Leonard, and then we announced earlier this year that Sandra was stepping into the kids' director role. And we explained some of that already, but we would like you to get to know Sandra and her husband, Jacob, just a little bit better. And so we have actually it's a condensed version of a longer video that you'll be able to see later on our website, just to get a little sneak peek of who the Laras are and to get to know their hearts just a little bit.
I'm the enforcer.
You're the bruiser.
She
makes
write the laws,
I enforce the rules.
Yeah. It does feel that way. I'm Sandra Lara.
I'm Jacob, same last name.
And I work at the ISP at Riverside. So I work part-time there 2 days a week. I get to teach third and fourth homeschool kids. And then I am now currently hired part-time at Connection Point as the kids director.
And I'm currently working in Post Falls as a property manager for a management company. And then I also work part-time as a fitness instructor for Fit Body Bootcamp. And right now we're in Chatteray, Washington, loving our 5 acres in the country.
I think we're really glad to be here. And I want to say I'm pulling from probably what Elisa had mentioned of that we can just see our kids growing up here and we can see them making connections. Jacob grew up with the ultimate, you know, church-going experience. I didn't get to have that, but I greatly admire it. And so I just seen that there are people who care for our kids, and I think we're always pushed as parents because we see such stellar parents at Connection Point, and they're just raising them in gospel-centered homes. They're always trying to make sure that they're on God's path for them, and I don't know, I really admire it. And so we can see our kids being here. And so that's one of the reasons we really enjoy being here. Because it's like iron sharpening iron. And we definitely get sharpened. So
yeah, I would say personally for me though, it's being able to connect with all the guys at Connection Point. It's been the first time in a very long time that I've been able to go to a church and actually feel like I'm building relationship with other men, especially godly men, who I can look up to, people who can mentor me. And I love it. I've been able to make so many relationships with the other guys at Connection Point, and I think that's what I was really longing for, was either someone to go play basketball with or just have a good conversation with, someone I can kind of talk to about, you know, what it means to be a godly man and a husband.
One part I didn't see was that I actually get to pour into leaders too, and the teachers teaching the kids. And I think that's what makes me excited. And then really it's just prayer, and it's up to God to stir the hearts to do it. And so I think that's the pattern I've been seeing a lot of is, even when it comes to having people serve on the kids team, I'm really just available as a resource to help with questions and to help train and help people find their different skills to learn how to be with kids and interact with kids. And really it's just God stirring their hearts to bring them to that place.
We're glad to have you, Sandra, and your enforcer husband, both. Carol is our Connection Groups Director, and she's going to share about Connection Groups.
Well, hi, I'm Carol Widmer, and I'm the Director of Connection Groups. I think that's my title. But I get to share kind of an update of where we're at and what our vision is. And so I think we can all realize that one of our greatest wants or needs is to be known, and we really want that. Yet on the other side, our greatest fear is to be known. right. So Connection Groups offer a safe place to be known and to even let the messiness of who we are be known. And if we're honest, we are really messy, and we are messy. Relationships are messy. Sometimes we have to slog through messy relationships, and yet Connection Groups are just a safe place to do that. If you're not a part of a messy relationship Connection Group, let me know, and I will connect you, and or you can fill out your Connect cards, and it will eventually get to me, and we will get you into one of those messy groups. And it's really cool. This year, we have grown. We are up to 6 Connection Groups. Woohoo! So this is really exciting. We have just seen growth, people coming. And we are anticipating more growth as we go along. And theoretically, we are ready to pivot at a moment's notice to add more Connection Groups, theoretically. One of the things we've done in that is Barry has worked really hard at getting Connection Group leader training online. So it's an easier on-ramp to become a leader. So there's that thought. And I wrote my notes in really tiny handwriting and then left my glasses at home. So I don't know what that last point is, but I'm sure it's not important. And so please, if you are wanting to be known but afraid to be known, jump in the pool. It's okay. It will be hard. It will be painful, but it will also be beyond belief wonderful. Wait, I shouldn't do that. There's no such luck with God, right? So, yeah. So, thank you.
How about now? There we go. There's a couple ministries that we've spent a lot of time talking about recently, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about right now, but I just want to mention that our women's ministry is doing some very cool things in one-to-one Bible reading and journaling. That's awesome. It's very exciting. That's a new development for us. We have hired a discipleship director in Matthew Abate, and we already put out a video about him, and you've heard him preach a couple times, so we're not focusing there this morning, but those things are exciting and important. And so just be aware that those are happening. There's also been a development in our music ministry. And the music team's all aware of this. I don't know if the rest of you are aware of this. So Brandon Zimmerman came to me over the summer, and he's like, Barry, I'm leading four things right now. I'm leading music, leading a connection group. He's a leader at his work, and he's starting a business. And he's like, I really want to do well at the things I lead, and I wonder if I need to take off one hat. And so we talked and thought through this and came to the conclusion, like, it'd be better for him to keep leading his group than to keep leading the music team. So now he's only leading three things. And the good news is he's still on the team, which is why you may not have noticed it. He still plays and sings, but some of the behind the scenes things that he was doing, we are having someone else do. So first, Brandon, where are you? So thank you so much. Yeah. So Brandon is and continues to be a great blessing to the team, and also he transitioned in a really healthy way. Sometimes people come and all of a sudden it's over, and you had no time to pray through it and dialogue and think through how to do it in a healthy way for the church, and he just came and was upfront from the beginning and involved us in the decision-making process. And as a result, we've had a really good transition into Andrew Meeks being able to step up. And so he was leading music this morning. And our music team actually has multiple people who would be capable of wearing this hat. But it felt like the Lord was directing us to, you know, calling Andrew to step into this. And so we have a little video just to help you get to know Andrew and his wife, Katie.
Leadership is really important. We're either leading or following. And we need to be led and we need to follow. Well, my name is Andrew Meeks, and I work as a sales assistant at a local mortgage lending company. Been doing that for about 9 months. And at Connection Point, I am the music director.
And my name's Katie Meeks, and I get to stay home with my two kids, Melody and Phoebe Meeks. And I help out a bit with worship at CBC as well.
We're attending another local church, and we have been there, I have been there since 2010 or 2011, and that's where we met and were married. And so we had attended there for like 9 years, loved it. And one of the opportunities that we got to do for ministry was serve at the Women's Crisis Shelter for UGM. And I would play the music and Katie would help and do a little sermonette series. And long story short, there was a healing that took place. A woman's collarbone was healed, and it was just really awesome, miraculous, like one of our highlights of our life. And the pastor there, Dave Nelson, is really good friends with Barry. So Dave told Barry about it, and Barry's like, well, I gotta meet Andrew. So, because Barry is very much wanting to see things like that happen, and he hadn't really heard about it that happening in Spokane, and so that's where I first met Barry, and definitely kindred spirit there, and we hit it off, and that was, I would say probably, it was 2017?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I knew that CPC would be somewhere, if we were looking for another church to go to, would definitely be in line with where we would want to make our home church. And at that time, we were exiting Spokane, because of school and job and different things. And so fast forward a little bit. For a number of reasons, we needed to stay in Spokane. And so I got a different job, and that allowed us to stay in Spokane. And so we decided basically to settle roots here. And so with that decision, we wanted to, you know, go to a church that...
I think we just really felt called.
Yeah, I'd say definitely called. Called to a community that wants to pursue the gifts wholeheartedly and wants to see God move in really awesome ways. I think one of the things for me sticking around was, one, I just felt welcomed and like brought in. Some part of it's just like, I don't know, people wanted us to be there. Like Barry and, I mean, even Ian and others, and just like...
I think generally at the church, there's like everybody wants to be there and everybody's excited to see each other. And there's a real excitement about what God's going to do. There's an expectation that really good fellowship and community is going to happen at CPC every Sunday. And this is something that Barry has mentioned multiple times, but it's not, church isn't about just the sermon and the pastor and worship, but it's about everyone mutually ministering to each other and pouring into one another's lives. And that's just really exciting to see this bigger holistic picture of the church.
Well, this time we're going to pray for leaders. And I didn't tell them I'm going to do this, but if you or your spouse are a ministry director or a connection group leader, I'd like you to come up here because we're going to gather around and we're going to lay hands on you. And so music team leaders, connection group leaders, kids ministry, connection group, elders, wives, setup, first impressions. I'm probably leaving some people out, but you know if you're leading something. If that's you, come on up. And come into kind of a circle. And the rest of the church, I want you to come and gather around, and we're going to lay hands. And if you're on the MCs also would be involved in this. And then Holly and Caleb, you should also come up because this is the mic you're going to need for your prayer. So church, come gather around, put your hands on them, and we're going to pray and ask that God would use these leaders, strengthen these leaders, grow them up, and you know who I'm talking about, into Christ, that you would, that God would protect us, make us fruitful, enable us to equip others. And Caleb, I'm going to let you say a prayer, and then Holly, I'll get her the mic. So after Caleb prays, if a couple of you want to say short prayers out loud, like 20 to 30 second prayers, please do so. And then Holly, I'll have you close this in just a bit.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you today as sinful people redeemed by your love, led by sinful people redeemed by your love. Lord, we pray that you would protect them and their families as they step out in front of us, showing us the way and calling us to follow you. Lord, I pray for wisdom and discernment. I pray for good communication skills, good leadership skills. But Lord, we pray most of all that their hearts would be tuned to your music, that they would be listening and following along on the winds of the Spirit, that they would know in very nuanced, very detailed ways how to follow you from moment to moment. Lord, I pray that you would fill their hearts with faith so that they would have a deep trust of who you are that would overcome the fears that come with leadership and the fear of comes with living in this world, so that they would have hearts that can willingly and joyfully follow wherever you take us. Lord, we pray that each ministry would function well, that it would be a part of the overall rhythm of the church, that it would fit together, that we would be built into a body of Christ, Lord, serving each other, serving the world, serving our neighbors. Lord, we pray that each ministry leader would be training and developing future leaders so that there's a multiplicity of leadership so that as they need to step down at some point in the future, whether that's near or far away, that there would be people ready to step into those roles, that we would have healthy transitions like we've seen this summer, Lord, we thank you for that. God, we thank you that you have blessed us with people willing to put their lives on the line for you, willing to sacrifice time they could spend elsewhere to spend leading. And Lord, we pray for your protection over them and their families.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your church. Thank you that we get to be the church, that we get to show Christ to each other. I pray for these leaders that you brought up, myself included, that you would be, Lord, just giving us so much grace as we stumble forward in this leadership journey. Thank you, God, that you are the God of grace and mercy and compassion, that you describe yourself that way. And I pray for our congregation that you would be empowering them to be a joy to lead. God, I pray that even in leadership, we don't get caught up in the activity of doing leadership for your church, God, but that you would pour out your spirit on your leaders in a way that is fresh and new. I pray that you would be drawing them to yourself, that you would be growing them in the knowledge of your word to lead more effectively, to give life by your spirit to this body. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for what you have done. Thank you, God, for what you will do here in this congregation. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can find your seats. We are grateful for our leaders, but not only our leaders, we're grateful for all kinds of people. And so we mentioned our leaders, and now I'd like to mention some of our volunteers. And so if you serve in any Connection Point Church ministry, whether it's kids or music or first impressions or creative or sound setup, connection group leader, connection group host, finance, MC, there's probably some others that I'm overlooking. Would you just stand right now? I'd like to say thank you. And you're gonna, yeah, stand, yep. You're pretty much gonna, we got more. It's okay, you can be seated. You're pretty much gonna have to clap for yourself because it's the majority of our church. By my count, I went through and I counted, we have 76 people, if my accounting is correct, I'm within two or three, who serve. And considering that our average attendance is 100 and that many of those are elementary age or younger, guys, that's phenomenal. So I just want to say thank you. And so I'd like people just to know who's in what ministry. So we're gonna strengthen your quad muscles by having you stand and sit for a moment. So if you serve in our kids ministry in any capacity, would you stand? Thank you. Yeah. All right, you can be seated. If you serve in our music ministry in any capacity, whether you sing or you play or you're involved in the sound, would you please stand? Thank you, music team. If you serve on our First Impressions team, greeting, coffee, Lord's Supper, prep, offering, would you stand? If you're part of the creative team and you do video, music, and proclaim, would you stand? They're right back there. Thank you. Great job with the videos, by the way, Ian. That's awesome. And anyone else who helped you with that. If you're part of the setup team, would you stand? These guys get here early, and they're the ones most excited that we're going to be moving into a new building. If you're a connection group leader or a co-leader or a host home, would you stand? And if you serve in a capacity that I didn't mention, because there's some individual MC, women's stuff, men's stuff, discipleship, finance, or some other things that it's just one or two people, and I'll just do you all at once. Anyone else who I didn't mention, stand up. Okay. I just want to say thank you. I'm grateful to God for you. I'm grateful to God that we have a church filled with so many people who serve. What you do matters. It's honorable. It's pleasing to God, and it makes it really a delight to be your pastor. I see so many people who are stepping in so many different ways. Well, the plan for this morning, I think it's fitting for us to close with the Lord's Supper. We've seen evidence of the fact that we are a family, that we are a body, and the Lord's Supper is a reminder of the unity of this family that God has created. And so this is, if you're looking for a sermon, this is what you get this morning. I'm going to share with you four truths in 5 minutes. Yes, you can preach a sermon in 5 minutes. Four truths in 5 minutes about the Lord's Supper. Truth number one is that the Lord's Supper is a memorial, but it's not a funeral. It's a memorial because we read in Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. We're remembering him, but it's not a funeral because we're not remembering a dead person. Yes, Jesus died, but when we take the Lord's Supper together, we are actually remembering the living one. Christ is here with us. He's spiritually present with us when we take the Lord's Supper. And so because the Lord's Supper is a memorial, it's a time to remember. Now, in particular, remember what? That brings us to the second truth about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a visual. The Lord's Supper is a visual. It's a visual of Christ's death. We read in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, he's quoting, he writes, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so the breaking of bread symbolizes the breaking of Christ's body, broken for our sins. He died in our place. It should have been us on that cross. The pouring of the cup symbolizes the pouring of Christ's blood shed for your forgiveness. Because of his death, because of his blood, when we take the Lord's Supper, we can come with confidence. We can come hearing Christ invite us into this meal that he is hosting, and we can hear him saying, I love you this much. This much. You can come with confidence. You can bring your failures. This is a table of mercy. It's a time to come to him with our sin and lay our sin out before him and receive his grace, receive his forgiveness, receive assurance that we are his. It's a visual of Christ's death. It's also a visual that we are one body. It's a visual of the unity that is to characterize the church. 1 Corinthians 10:17, Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake in one bread. The one loaf, now we're using little packets right now because of just COVID safety, although we just all gathered together, so maybe we need to rethink our COVID safety. I don't know. But in the past, we've had one loaf, and we actually rip it publicly as a visual, not only of Christ's body being broken, but also a visual of the one body. And so as we take the Lord's Supper, we're invited to examine our relationship to the body. Do our actions and attitudes demonstrate oneness? Are there people in the church that you need to reconcile with? Or you try to walk by the other side of the room when they're here? Or you try not to make eye contact in the hall? Is there some reconciliation that needs to take place because we are one? The Lord's Supper is a visual that we're one body. And so because the Lord's Supper is a visual, this is a time to symbolically proclaim his death and our unity. And so you say, well, what if I don't want to proclaim that? And that brings us to the third truth. And the third truth is that the Lord's Supper is offense. Offense. Now, this is surprising to some people, but what I mean by this is offense, it's a dividing line. It's designed to separate those who belong to Christ and are united to Christ and those who are practicing unity with his body. It's designed to separate them from those who do not belong to Christ or who are not walking in unity with his body. And so when you partake, if you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are declaring two things by your actions. You're saying, first, I affirm that I place my faith in Christ, so I'm on this side of the fence. And you're saying, I affirm that I am in right relationship to the body of Christ. And if you can't honestly say that, then you should abstain. Or if there's some reconciliation that needs to happen, just bring it to God right now and say, God, I'm purposing that I'm going to pursue this reconciliation. And if that's your intent, then by all means, partake. But the Lord's Supper, it is offense. It's a time where you reveal whether or not you trust Christ and whether or not you are walking in unity with his church. The Lord's Supper is offense. Finally, the Lord's Supper is a promise. It's a promise. Matthew 26, Jesus says, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So the Lord's Supper not only looks back to the cross, it also looks forward to the new creation when Christ returns and wipes away every tear from every eye. John describes this future day in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. He says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride, that's the church, has made herself ready. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. When we partake together, seeing God face to face. And so because the Lord's Supper is a promise, this is a time for us to anticipate. Yes, it's a time for us to confess and come with reverence, but it's also a time for us to rejoice that we are forgiven and there's a future that's been purchased for us and our sins are removed and there's a day coming when there's no more sin and no more struggle and no more suffering and we see God face to face and God dwells with man. And so this is a time to anticipate and rejoice. And so we're about to take together. Music team, if you want to come up to lead us in song. As we sing about the Lord's Supper, and in the middle of the song, when Roger comes up to lead us in partaking, I want you to remember, we are forgiven. I want you to remember, we are family. We're one. I want you to remember, we've been set apart by God on this side of the fence. We've been included in his family. And if that's true of you, that means we also have a future that we can look forward to. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together, and we're going to close this morning by singing together and taking the Lord's Supper.